Welcome to the Swing Set. Climb on up. There is always a swing available. On Life on the Swing Set, the podcast, we explore ethically non-monogamous relationships, the pleasures and passions, the promise and pitfalls. We discuss all aspects of ethical non-monogamy in a fun, open, and welcoming fashion, with a gleam in our eye, a bounce in our step, our hands down your pants. Ooh, sorry, got ahead of myself. We may be biased. In fact, we most certainly are. But we don't sugarcoat, and each of us speaks honestly and earnestly about our thoughts, ideas, and experiences throughout our very own lives on the swing set. Thanks for swinging by.
Hey there, swing set fans. In the podcasting world, ranking high on iTunes can mean the difference between some listeners and lots of listeners. So do us a favor and hop onto iTunes, subscribe to our podcast, rate us, and submit a 1 to 2 sentence review telling us what you think. If you listen to us on mobile devices, you can also find us on Stitcher. Download their mobile app and look up Life on the Swing Set and listen to any of our episodes on demand at your fingertips. You can also help us out if you live around the world and have unique local issues to air that we may not have touched on. We want to hear about them. Head over to www.lifeontheswingset.com/forum and post about it. You can also leave us a voicemail at 573-55-SWING and we may address you on the air. Thanks for listening.
So last night, Dylan and I threw a swing party. We've thrown several together in the past, and I've always had wonderful experiences doing so. But last night was different. Last night, we decided to attempt an expansion of our core group, so we suggested that people bring friends. Unfortunately, an influx of new people changed the dynamic considerably, and made for some unique, some upsetting, and some downright rude experiences. Tonight, we are going to talk about play parties and the etiquette that comes with them, and why you never leave used condoms on the floor. Welcome to Life on the Swing Set, the podcast, for the first episode of Season 3 and the new year. I'm Cooper Beckett, and with me tonight, I have...
Hey, everybody, it's Ginger.
Hey, everybody, it's Dylan.
And this is Shira B. Katz. The appalled Shira B. Katz.
Yeah, no kidding.
Was there really a used condom on the ground?
Yeah. But welcome to season 3, everybody.
Yay!
So, what qualifies us for season 3? Is this like our 2-year date or something like that?
Well, this is the first episode of 2012.
Oh,
so
okay.
So, season 2 began the first episode of 2011, so season 3 begins the first episode of 2012.
Okay, well, I didn't know if we were going to do these Battlestar Galactica-style half-seasons or quarter-seasons or whatever.
Sex is Fun used to do 13-episode seasons.
Oh.
It was always interesting that randomly, like in the middle of a whole bunch of episodes, I mean, I listened to them all in a row, so it was, it really didn't matter.
Gotcha.
They didn't have season finale cliffhangers or anything like that.
So if somebody else looks up the season list or our episode list, they're going to see, you know, a few episodes in season 1, a decent amount in season 2, and then a ton when we're done with season 3, now that we're releasing a lot faster.
That's very true. There's going to be a lot more episodes in season 3 than there was in season 1 and 2.
And this should be our peak year, right? We have like 2 good years, season 3 and 4, and then we jump the shark at some point and start going downhill, so.
Is that how it's going to work?
I can tell you.
No, I hope not.
Well, we did have a spinoff, so, you know, we've already done spinoffs.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm the Joey of this.
No. You're not the Joey.
Joey ran for a surprisingly long amount of time.
Joey waited till the end. You're the Jeffersons.
Oh, right. Gotcha.
Which spun off an already successful show. But you're sticking around. So it's totally, I mean, it's like if George Jefferson had stuck around, it would not have
worked. Pedestrian polyamory is to Star Trek DS9, and Swinging with the Becketts is to Star Trek Voyager.
Wait a minute. I've heard Voyager's terrible. Oh, man. You know, I was listening to the last episode of 2011 today, in fact. And we talked about how Ginger did not have a Hitachi magic wand. And so, you know, seeing that that is unacceptable, Marilyn and I went ahead and rectified that. And sent her a Hitachi for Christmas.
Yes, you did. That was so sweet. I'm like smiling so big. I can't stop.
I'm sure you are.
No, seriously, it's rocking. Like, of course
it
is.
Did it change your life?
Well, yes.
Yeah, right?
I would say yes. That it's funny, though. I feel like I had talked myself into feeling like it would be like way too much, which my experience with it in the past was like, oh my gosh, it's so intense. And but sometimes intense is good. And it was really, there's been a streak now since it arrived of using it. And
a streak already.
Yes,
nice.
Absolutely. Because it's really fantastic. And we got really creative, Prof and I did, the other
night. You also got that attachment, and we don't have that attachment.
Yeah, the attachment's a little bit...
Is it the gonzo nose one? I couldn't really tell from the picture.
Yeah, it is.
Do you move it around and talk like gonzo?
I didn't.
Is it painted blue?
Because that's sexy.
It's not. No, I'm sorry. I have to draw the line at the Muppets being sexy.
Okay, that's fair.
But yeah.
I don't know. I've always had a long love affair with Miss Piggy.
Have you?
Yeah, apparently.
Okay. No judgment.
Own that.
Snout, man.
Own that. So anyway, back to more exciting things.
I haven't ventured into the attachment. It looked a little bit intimidating.
Okay.
I am surprised every time I turn it on how loud it actually is. It's very industrial sex toy feeling. So,
oh yes, it is.
That's a new experience for me and for the cats that are nearby because they just scatter like nobody's business. So
I have to lie to myself about the noise because I like to pretend that it's at like such a low bass register that no one else can hear it.
Sure.
But I'm sure that's not the case.
Sure.
But I've convinced myself.
So I've seen and used plenty of magic wand. Plenty of magic wand. But I've never seen the retail packaging. Does it bill itself as like a shoulder massage or does it actually state that it's specifically
Dylan.
Sexual
it
activity?
Is a beautiful, beautiful thing. I wish I had it handy right here. The packaging, first of all, it's got a dude on it who's, you know, holding it to his sore neck, which he strained, of course.
He was doing a lot of lifting.
Oh, he must have been.
Yeah.
Actually, you guys need to indulge me. Like, give me 1 minute and I will be back with the instructions.
And you'll have to take a picture of this so we can put it up on the site.
Absolutely. Okay. Talk amongst yourselves. Be right back.
The packaging she's going for has always made me laugh because it's so 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh yeah, the Hitachi did not make it out of the 80s in terms of look.
Yeah.
Does the guy that's using it have a perm? Or is it that curly look and, you know, with the long hair in the back?
Just imagine like what they tried to make football players look like in 1980s. Like that's precisely what's going on there.
So okay. I've returned with the instructions, which are ever so important when you receive Hitachi Magic Wand, Hitachi Magic Wand Household Electric Massager. Okay, so, and it also says save these instructions. And I'm just going to note a few highlights for you here. Under the part where it says with the exclamation point in the triangle next to the big word danger. Number six says do not use at wet location of body or while body is wet.
Boy, Marilyn definitely has never read that.
Well, yeah, they don't know their audience.
No, yeah, exactly. Okay, so there's that. And then there's a nice little paragraph thanking us for the purchase of our Hitachi Magic Wand.
Excellent. You're welcome.
Yes, I was going to say, or Cooper thanking you for your purchase as a gift to me. it then says, I'm going to try to, and welcome to the happy family of Hitachi product owners. Then it says, the Hitachi massager is designed as a refreshing relief at the end of a busy day. After work, before or after sports, and for removing everyday dullness, your Hitachi Magic Wand is always ready to help you.
And that is all true.
So that's going to become code now. I'm going to
the everyday dullness.
Everyday
part?
Dullness, exactly.
Yeah, I think so.
And lastly, I will call your attention to the middle page where it lists, it gives you a, we'll have to take a picture of this and post it.
Is this
it.
Suggested uses?
It's suggested uses, positions of massaging, and it shows a woman in kind of a bodysuit thing, front and back. It's a drawing. and it has it listed, and the places are shoulders. And it has numbers where, you know, it's showing you exactly which part of your shoulders you can, it's pointing to, arms, back muscles, and then it says loins.
I love Japan so much.
And yep.
I trust you used it on your loins.
Well,
Jim.
But see, interestingly, I did, or I thought I was, but when I look at the instructions, where they have loins is not where I think of.
Oh, is it the sore areas around the sides?
Well, it's like your lower back, apparently, according
what?
To the,
wait a minute.
Yeah.
Right above the butt.
Right above the butt, yeah.
I don't think that's loins.
Well,
I mean,
according to...
I might have to get a verdict from dictionary.com.
Yeah, you might. So I'm just saying, the instructions have been helpful and oh so interesting. So...
I imagine changing the head on the magic wand for something a little more sturdy. Or hard plastic or stone or ceramic or something, and then using it as a meat tenderizer.
I was going to say that sounds deadly. Like, no, thank you.
Okay, so.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dylan, you can't. Number 15 says do not modify.
Ah, there you go. See, yeah. Loins are the part of the body between the hips and the lower ribs, especially regarded as the seat of physical strength and generative power.
That's where it shows.
Or B. The genital and pubic area.
Oh, so it's both. Well, their yes. loins are the first definition.
And then the other definition is the more fun one, a cut of meat from this region of an animal. So Dylan would be correct. He could use it on some meat loins.
He could.
As just not as, the same one.
Right. As long as he doesn't modify it.
Yes, no modifications. He will void his warranty if he jailbreaks this
right.
device.
No one except repair technicians must repair.
Yeah. How do they justify the gonzo nose?
It's a G-spot attachment.
How
but
do
it doesn't
they
show that on the instructions.
What do you mean, how
oh,
do they justify
Hitachi.
It?
How does the Hitachi
it's not
magic
from, oh,
wand?
It's not from Hitachi. It's included. It was included with the package, but it's not from Hitachi.
Okay. Gotcha.
Now we know.
Hitachi knows they made a sex toy. They're just pretending they didn't.
Isn't that
it's
sad?
It's even more fun that way.
I mean,
no way.
Hitachi is on Twitter constantly retweeting everything I mentioned the Hitachi magic wand in. So clearly, they know what they have and are exploiting it, which is good because they made a wonderful piece of machinery.
I think they're exploiting the innocence factor, too, because, I mean, that's kind of fun in itself. That they act so innocent about it.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I like seeing the picture of the guy with it on his neck because it makes me think that does he know where that was used last? And would he be so casually using it on his neck if he did?
Well, you see, he got it for himself, but his wife borrows it late at night.
Yes, it's an ancient Chinese secret.
So... I had a little fun with the Hitachi magic wand last night, cleaning it, actually. So I suppose it wouldn't be considered fun. But I want to mention some stuff that happened last night as a good signpost as to the whole general mood of how things went wrong last night at Cooper's and my party.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's...
Now, I will start with the fact that I did have a good time at this party.
Oh, I had a great time.
So... It's not an all bad situation, but yeah. So go on.
It's helpful to focus on the negatives first. So
yes.
When I was cleaning the magic wand, I was in full decon mode. I had the hottest water I could put on. I was cleaning every single surface of every single toy I got, and I had my dishwasher set on antimicrobial because.
And I'm so disappointed we did not take a picture of the dishwasher full of toys.
Oh, that's so fun. You totally
I thought of that after I got home. And I had to use pot holders to get the Enjoy toys out of the dishwasher. Yes.
And you know, I would never fake that kind of picture. So if we ever do post a picture of that, it'll be legitimately from the end of a party.
Yeah, we need to make a point to do that at the next party because that would be fun.
Okay. Yeah, sounds good. Post-processing and stuff. Yes. But the reason I was treating it like an unusually high biohazard was several things. I walk into my basement, which is the large play area. If you imagine, there's a television and a couch at one side. It's open, so all the center space is open. There's a going clockwise television, couch, fireplace, futon, bed in the corner of the room, and another couch, and then the hallway that leads you upstairs.
And a mat on the floor, the Liberator Escape.
Liberator Escape is such a pro. And a massage table that we had in front of the television. I had dubstep and drum and bass playing. I mentioned for all that you were following me on Twitter.
Yes.
You know this was going to happen. And I had porn going on in the background. The porn was muted and the dubstep was on. And it actually created a really nice atmosphere, at least for me.
And it created an interesting dynamic when the music would line up with the porn. And then even more interesting dynamic when the music wouldn't line up with the porn. but for your amusement, we had Deep Throat on silent on the TV.
Mm-hmm. I have a question.
Among other things.
Yeah. Question. Is it normal to have porn playing at play parties before the sexy time happens?
Well, this was in the sexy room.
Not at
room.
My parties, no.
Yeah, in the sexy room, in the everything, everybody can see everybody, and it's like the group sex room. It's not called that, but you know, it's general play area. Everybody plays. If you're going down there, you're pretty much going to watch or to participate.
Yeah.
Oh.
You expect to see sexiness down
upstairs,
there.
Upstairs, there was neutral space.
Right. Now, I haven't put on porn before, but I've been to Couples Playhouse a few times, and they've always had porn in the background, and some of it's been pretty terrible porn, but a couple of times, it's like, you know what? It just feels right in the moment to have a little more stimulation going on. So I said, okay, I'm going to put on some music that I know that I enjoy and hope that other people do and put some porn on.
And people were watching and enjoying.
Yeah, I think it worked. But walking downstairs, I say an hour and a half to 2 hours after the party really got started, I walked over to the area where I had put the condoms, the lubricant, the towels, all that stuff, just to check on how things were going. I was being a good party host. And in the next 5 minutes, I pick up 8 condoms. Was it 8? Yeah, 8 condoms, like 5 or 6 used wipes, and 3 or 4 towels off the surrounding area, both on a hardwood table, underneath pillows, on the floor.
Wow.
And there is an enormous wet spot on my couch. Now we put out several mats, Liberator style mats, and
blankets.
many towels.
Many blankets.
Okay, Liberator blankets. We obviously had the Liberator mat on the ground, and we had towels everywhere. And somebody that squirts a lot, like Marilyn level squirting, which is a lot if you don't know, just decided to sit down and go to town without anything underneath. And
on their couch.
On my couch. Now, I can and will steam clean it because holy crap, but I felt like taping over it with the police line do not cross thing until I take care of that. But I've had a loose condom before on the ground, or a condom wrapper, or a wayward wipe. You know, I know that stuff's going to happen, but I felt like my place was treated like a random low rent
come dumpster.
Yes, exactly. I felt like a back alley because I shouldn't have to go around picking up other people's biohazard stuff. At least not like that. I know mistakes happen, but
there were readily accessible garbage and linen receptacles.
Yeah, we bought 6 small garbage receptacles and put them everywhere in easily accessible places. It's not like they were hidden. Yeah, so people didn't care. I came upstairs and I kind of just. I it didn't traumatize me that much, but I was annoyed because this is my house, and I was just marking. I used to work for a pharmaceutical company, and you're used to looking at what you touch and then making sure you keep track of it so you know to either clean that surface or to make sure you clean yourself when you're done. And I was mentally marking down all the surfaces that I'd have to just nuke from orbit in order to get them clean. So that kind of set the tone for how I felt about what went wrong with the party right there. Now, I know, Cooper, you heard something completely, you felt
something
completely different.
No, I have a very, very different, but very valid reason why things went wrong.
Yeah.
And see, here's the thing. You know, we have a very nice circle of friends. Yeah, they're wonderful to hang out with. Ginger, you got to experience a good number of them when
you were
in town last year.
Yeah.
They're all very considerate. You feel like you don't have to worry about anything going down when they're around because you know that they're all going to look out for each other. They're, you know, I feel comfortable with Marilyn being around them when I'm not around because I know that if something happened, they would take care of her the way I would take care of her. And so we've been trying, with limited luck, to expand our group a little bit because, you know, it's a great group. We want to invite new people and we want to have more friends in it. And we've done that pretty successfully with newbies, fairly unsuccessfully with with people who've been doing this for a while. And so this party, our last party was for Marilyn's birthday, and so it was a closed affair. You know, we only invited our close friends, and that's it. With this party, we thought, hey, we're going to have, instead of a vanilla Christmas party this year, we're going to have a play party. And so why not, you know, really do it right? We'll have a big party. And so we threw it out there in the invitation that you should feel free to invite your friends. And so we had several people invite friends. I would say it was, interestingly, only the people that we didn't know terribly well who invited friends. And there's a very distinct style of swinging that is common to this entire group. And they all pretty much circulate around one of our friends who we've known for a long time and his parties. And they are, it's summed up best with, I was on one side of this playroom in the basement and Marilyn was on the other side. And we were actually on either side of the room with two halves of one couple. So that, you know, we probably could have joined that together, but
yeah. I was there giving a massage at the time.
You were. And so on the one side, Marilyn and he had finished up and were taking a little breather on the bed in the corner. And, I was on the other side and I heard, something about, are you interested in, can we jump in? And Marilyn thought they wanted the bed. And they did not want the bed. They wanted Marilyn. And so I perked up a little bit when I started to think that that's what was happening. And we had discussed on the way to the party that we were only going to be playing with people we already have played with and have experience with because we are still in our, reconnecting and not really expanding our intimate close circle at this point. And then I heard the words bareback or condoms.
Whoa.
And immediately I perk up and, the guy she was playing with was still over there. And, so he was involved and then I stood up and I saw that they were kind of descending on Marilyn in this corner. And she said condoms. But she also thought they were just asking how she plays, not what do you want? And so we got involved, pulled her out of there. She went back upstairs, and we all stayed upstairs for a little while and let this group of people who all sort of had the exact same play style that I will go ahead and term, quote, bareback or condoms, end quote.
Now, I like hosting my own party. You know, I get to choose people that I'm comfortable with, but more importantly, it lines up with the way that I swing. Now, one of the things that we've consistently said, when we're trying to educate people about, what to do in the lifestyle when you're starting out, if you're meeting people in clubs in general, whatever it is always have that slightly uncomfortable talk of, you know, how do you play? How safe are you? Have you been tested? Things like that. I have gotten used to not having to talk to people like that at my parties because everybody I know has either been vetted because I know them or because people I explicitly trust have vetted them mm-hmm. and they play safely and we're all going to take care of each other. We're all going to try and keep each other healthy because it's in all of our best interests. I didn't know people were coming that don't always play as safe as we do. And if I did, I might not have said no, but I definitely would have changed the way that I approach people, and I definitely would have let everybody else know that they need to be a little more inquisitive before they play as well.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm at a club, I do ask more questions. If I meet somebody new, I do ask more questions. I didn't expect to do it at my house. And again, I would have if I had known, but I have gotten used to not having to ask that question. So that alone wouldn't have been a signpost of something going really wrong, but it was surprising, and I would have liked to know that we had people that were different practicers of swinging come over before they did.
Hmm. And then so we sort of found ourselves and the people who get invited to most of our parties were sort of segregated into the corner in the non-play area for a good amount of time. And it was really kind of interesting because we watched how some of the new people were a bad influence on some of the people that were still sort of new into our group, and how some of them would just jump into situations without asking, without, you know, it was exactly what you go into house parties worried is going to happen. And I was so disappointed that it was happening at my house party.
And I was embarrassed. Mm-hmm. We have friends that we explicitly trust, and they trust us. And to have put them in that situation was embarrassing for me. I feel responsible for not the well-being of my party. That's the first thing that popped up in my head. But I feel responsible for all the people that come, that they're going to be comfortable, that they're going to be taken care of, and that they know what's going on. And that I didn't have a good handle on it and was surprised by all this was pretty embarrassing to me.
Mm-hmm. To the point where at the end of the evening, this really sums up all of it, we actually sent texts to several of our close friends apologizing for the party.
Wow.
And hoping that they don't think that we really had anything to do with it. And of course, they didn't. And they've responded with the same sort of shock that it disintegrated the way it did that we have. It was just extremely surprising, and it made me realize, most importantly, what a great group of friends we do have and how maybe we are just extremely lucky and this type of group does not exist as much as we thought it did elsewhere.
I'm sorry. Did the new, I guess the new element outnumber you guys at your house party?
No, they were
sort of.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you want to look at the new element, I mean, really there were two couples and then you guys and us who are active regulars in our group. There were a few couples who were newer. There was our unicorn. And then, yes, there was the extended group who was brought by mostly the newer couples.
How many people were at this party?
A lot of people. It was
I'd say
over
you're breaking
30. 30?
Yeah. We broke 30 easily, yeah. Maybe 35.
It was a much bigger party than we expected.
Do these things normally have like house rules, or is there some sort of protocol for talking to guests that are acting wonky? Well,
that's actually a good...
We've never had to have that.
Although I think now when I go to somebody else's party, I'm going to ask questions and kind of set a general amount of expectations if I don't know people that well.
Mm-hmm.
just so I can find out what the rules are, where things are, and be a good patron, I guess.
And that's the thing, though. You know, maybe I'm a better person, but I don't think that's the case. But every party I've ever been to, regardless of what the house rules are, when I am done with a condom, even if I don't throw it away right away, it's next to me until I pick it up and leave the room. When I leave the room, it comes with me, and it goes somewhere in a vaguely garbage-looking place. I don't understand how you don't do that. It doesn't make sense to me. Whether it's a rule or not, it is not acceptable human behavior.
So I guess the basics for an outright play party would be, you know, keep track of your own trash.
Mm-hmm.
Keep track of what you use to clean yourself on.
Always sit on a towel.
Always.
Your naked butt should not touch anybody's stuff.
Just kind of treat things like, if they're in your house, would you want random people sitting on them naked and or doing things on them? You know, I know that I sit naked on my couches sometimes, but I always take care of them because I know what I'm touching.
And that's part of your right as a homeowner.
I like to think so.
Naked on your furniture.
But at the same time, unless I'm explicitly told,
and as an American, naked on that. Really.
Yeah, keeping track of your trash, keeping track of yourself, those are basics. But some of the things that are also fairly basic for swingers in general, and we've talked a lot about this, mm-hmm. Are how you interface with other people. And this is what bugged me more, because it had more to do with how people were interfacing with each other. There were a few people that were a lot more pushy than not just I'm used to, but that I'm comfortable with. I try really hard not to treat women, specifically my wife and women that we're friends with and play partners with, as people who can't take care of themselves. I very, very hard, because I have a bad history of that. You know, a lot of the baggage that I get from my parents and from my past, in other ways, have been that I feel like I have to be paternalistic, that I own somebody's attention, that I am responsible for their care because they can't take care of themselves. I've tried very hard to eliminate that, but I still want to feel comfortable that everybody, and yes, especially the women at my party, are in a comfortable, obviously non-threatening, but non-pressure-filled situation. Swinger parties are more pressure than just meeting a couple one-on-one or two-on-two. I get that. There's kind of an expectation that sexy stuff is going to be happening around you, even if you're not going to participate. But at various times throughout the night, I felt like specifically women were being pressured by specific men that were there. Now, I may have made this effort to not be paternalistic and try and take ownership of women and their sexuality, but a couple of the men, let's say several of the men specifically, didn't have that attitude. And so they were treating their wives in ways that I was uncomfortable with. They were treating other women in ways I was a little uncomfortable with, and treating my wife while I was playing with her in ways that I was uncomfortable with. And because I'm not used to fighting off other men like that, and balancing that with my own sense of, well, you know what, if my wife doesn't like it, she'll say something. I couldn't find a good balance in the moment, and so I let it happen. I was playing with my wife from behind. I was actually using the Cooper on her.
Hey, all right.
And
that shouts out to Boris and Doris of BNDpodcast.com, right, who make the Cooper.
Hi, Doris. So I was playing with the Cooper with her. She was bent over a massage table, and another man came down, and without asking, without really talking much, just smacked her really hard on the ass in front of me. And I was a little shocked by that, and I kind of paid attention to Tonya, and she didn't show any negative reaction to it. So I kind of let it go and, you know, kind of smoothed over where he smacked, and then he smacked her other ass cheek. And I wasn't inviting anybody else to play, but it was in the playroom, and I think she liked it a little bit. And it turned out that she did find it interesting. She didn't like it or dislike it, but she found it interesting because she hasn't asked for rough play from me and hasn't been actively interested in it. but he started talking dirty to her and directing me to do things, which in the moment was kind of hot, but he was very pushy with it and starting to make me uncomfortable. And another
moment. Well, let me jump in real quick to something, is just because you like it does not mean it wasn't wrong.
Okay.
You know, just because you enjoyed the interaction does not mean he still should not have waited to be invited in. That's a big thing that people need to remember, is you're not going to dislike all the interaction that happens, even if it's a pushy, come on. And then you may wind up liking the experience. It doesn't make it any less inappropriate that that's the way you got to that experience.
That's a good point. So yeah. all of this, he was being pushy, and I was letting it happen because at the time I was focusing on Tonya and she was in mid-orgasm. I didn't want to stop. I kind of made an internal decision. I'm going to ignore this, make sure that she's okay, and then get over whatever I have to with this later after I talk with her. I was making sure very, very strongly she was okay, but I didn't like the situation that was going on. And so another guy came down and they both started telling her to, arch her back and show her tits, and they started feeling her tits, and I'm like, I'm really not liking this. And one of them pulled her hair back, and again, in the moment, she seemed to like it a little bit, but I had pretty much firmly committed to, this is pretty much done. And so I pulled the toy out, we started cleaning up, they left, and she and I had a pretty long talk about what had just happened and how we felt about it. And it turned out she was okay. In that hot, sexy moment, that stuff was interesting to her. She may not go for it again, but it didn't feel terrible with her because I was there and she felt safe. So to me, I'm glad that she felt safe. And if anything had made her feel unsafe, I would have pulled the plug right there. Mm. I, on the other hand, while I was very focused on her making sure she was feeling safe, I did not feel good about the whole thing. And well, those two are definitely never being invited to my parties again. But I think that I need to be a little more assertive and push back when stuff like that happens, because I did not like that at all.
When I agree, I had the same reaction. It's, I think that I could take charge of a situation, but it was such a foreign thing to me to feel like that at a party we were throwing. I'm guarded at clubs. I'm guarded in environments that I'm not fully, I hate to say in control, but I feel like I'm a lot more in control of the way our parties tend to go. And so
mm-hmm, I agree.
I know exactly what you're saying when it's like you almost feel like you couldn't say something because you don't want to suddenly blow up the party.
You mentioned, Coop, about it being your party. Well, both of you, Dylan and Cooper, it being your party, that your kind of baseline comfort level is that all of these people have the same safety baseline, health responsibility baseline as you do. And so you're not, folks who ask consent like you do. And it would seem to me that if you were in your house and it was your party, that is something that you could, I don't want to say take for granted, but that
we do take it for granted.
Well, okay,
totally.
So you could take it for granted, but knowing that, extending that invitation to people that you don't know personally, it is a tricky proposition, because it's the whole, you assume that your friends' friends conduct themselves the same way that you do. And I'm just trying to put myself in that position. And I would feel that way too, that friends who invite other friends would have vetted those folks according to the standards that they're used to at your parties.
Right.
And so one of the points that I had been thinking about as I've been listening is, Prof and I host parties we wished more, but occasionally and regularly, and have done that where we've extended invitations to our friends to invite their friends. And interestingly, one of the parties that we had where we allowed that, where we encouraged people to do that, was one of the parties where we had everything actually went pretty much smoothly, except for at the very end, there was just a huge drama-filled thing happened that was just specifically around one couple. So we felt good about all of those other pieces of the puzzle except for that. But it is interesting to me to reflect upon that and realize that those folks were friends of friends. They weren't people mm-hmm. that we personally had a relationship with, that we personally felt like we could go up to them and say, hey, settle down, or, you know, chill and talk about this in the morning, or leave, or we didn't feel like we could do that. And that is something that I'm taking from your experience, sharing this experience with us, is that when Prof and I throw parties, we need to know that we have a relationship enough with everyone there that we could go to them and say, hey, what's going on with the condoms all over the floor?
Right.
Or, you know, being able to do that personally, because I hear what you're saying about stewarding, like being the host of the party, you want to be providing an atmosphere that's fun for everybody and that's safe for everybody. And if you don't have that personal relationship to be able to go up to those people who are causing the issues and kick them out or tell them to change their behavior or tell them to settle down or whatever, then I do feel like it does get a bit out of hand, or it can. And that's what I'm learning from this experience that you're sharing.
Speaking of being a steward and trying to make sure that everybody's in a fun, comfortable environment.
I am the steward of Gondor, by the way.
Oh, well.
Just I am. I sit in the little throne at the foot of the tall stairs going to the big throne.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. It's disappointing because I look up there and I think, wow, wouldn't it be great to sit up there? Every once in a while, I think I should go up there, but it's a long flight of stairs. And if someone walked in and you're sitting on the real throne. yes. Sorry, I went.
I'm going to have to reel you in.
I'm trying to lighten the mood.
No.
Because this is a rough first episode. Go on, Dylan.
Speaking of being a good steward, I... steward of Gondor in my head.
He was not a good steward.
I pride myself on making sure that the parties that I throw are very comfortable and inviting, especially for new couples, because I've also talked about being a swing evangelist before. And, you know, I get up
swinger
and...
President.
I hold... swinger president,
yes,
even.
You're
I'm
still
holding
running for
up
swing president.
A fake... swing constitution in my hand right now, and I'm biting my lip.
Oh, yes, indeed.
I will never tax swing them. Anyway, I pride myself in doing that well. There was a couple there that I hadn't met before, that the female in the couple was brand new. She had just...
this was her second
this
party.
This was her second party, after a long and unhappy monogamous relationship with someone. This was her first... or her second party and her first real foray into this kind of thing. And I wanted to make sure that she was comfortable. And the thing is, 15 minutes to maybe 30 minutes of her being in the party, the same people that I had a problem with later, that were aggressive with my wife while I was playing with her, they were aggressive with her. Well, one of them was aggressive with her, and that ended, and I made it a point to sit next to her for like 30, 45 minutes just talking to her. And I did, you know, just regular conversation, talking about her history, talking about my history. I gave her a nice neck rub, and I ended up giving her a massage, in the basement, when other stuff was happening. And she gave me a great compliment after, a good hour and a half of playing with her, that I made her feel very safe and very secure. And that she felt like she could have a great time and that she wasn't nervous about being there anymore. And she thanked me, in addition to, you know, thanking me for other things. And I definitely thanked her because she was, oh my God. She was an older woman and she had a lot of insecurity about, you know, well, there were a lot of younger people there and a few older people there. And she had insecurity about not being desired or wanted. And I definitely, knocked that insecurity, at least for that party, out of her head. She felt very, very sexy and wonderful. And she was incredibly sexy and wonderful. And I hope I and, people that I like see her again, because she was pretty fantastic.
Dylan has a crush.
Totally does.
I have.
Yeah, he was smooth Dylan. When he sat down next to her, I was paying attention to that one. Well done, sir.
I totally believe that. I can see
it
already.
I've seen Dylan get smooth.
Oh, I've experienced it. It's awesome.
I hope you can feel me blushing right now.
Oh, good. Yay. So on that note, that's awesome that you were able to really go there with her and that you noticed and that you were able to create that safety, that feeling of comfort. One of the things, though, as I was listening to you talk about Tonya, is I was reflecting on an experience that Prof and I had going to a huge kind of convention sort of swing convention sort of experience, and the playrooms there that were huge and very busy, and knowing that we were going in to watch and maybe to perform, but had no interest in allowing anyone else play with us. And it was a place where there were single men that were allowed to be there, and it was very intense and aggressive. And that was, for me, I think, the first time that I really had to step up into making sure that my boundaries were set by me. Because Prof was there, and he was certainly making sure that, you know, he was scanning things, and he's always on alert, you know, like what's going on around. That's just him anyway. But for me, I don't, and I say this for all of the partners, all the women, like, don't count on, I see what you were doing there, Dylan, is making sure that she was comfortable, but she might have wanted some of those interactions. And so there's kind of this trust level between the two of you. And I reflect on it would be the same with Prof and I, that he might see that if someone approaches as me either inviting it or wanting it or whatever, and him not wanting to step in because he wants me to have my own agency, even if we're totally engaged with each other, that if I wanted that other guy to come over and do whatever, that he could trust that I would say no if I didn't want that. And we had to practice that a lot while we were there, because there were a lot of single men that were approaching, and it really was I don't want to say first experience, but the first experience where I really had to make eye contact and say, no, thanks. And really be aggressive about my consent. And for the most part, everyone there was although very aggressive, they were asking consent. And you still have to say no, though. You still have to step up into that and say what you want. And so I would just encourage Tonya to continue to reflect on that experience, and for the two of you to reflect on it together in terms of that communication that you had in the moment. And if she really did want that, if there was a way that she could communicate that to you in the moment that wasn't intrusive to the vibe. And I don't know, there's a lot of worthwhile learning there. So I'm glad to hear that you guys did a lot of chatting about it. And
I definitely will focus on that. I feel like I didn't want to talk for her, but again, right, in that moment where she's finding it hard to talk, you know, she's putting herself at my mercy when I have her bent over and I have a very intimidating toy in her. So I guess I need to feel more comfortable making those decisions for her,
from bndpodcast.com.
Yes. When I had the Cooper in her, I guess in that moment, when you're
ladies,
playing,
you'll get so distracted that you, I'm sorry.
When you're playing the dominant role, when anybody is playing that dominant role, I think I would suggest that it's okay to be more of a decision maker, because you have control of the other person already. It's a little a little bit better, a little more acceptable to make decisions on who else may come and play, unless there's, you know, some specific, something specific that you've said that says, oh, no, let him in. So, yeah, I need to feel more comfortable just saying no thanks in the future if that happens.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm. Ask away.
So I haven't been to, like, swinger parties necessarily. I have been to sex clubs.
And does this make you not want to go to one?
No. I just listening to the way Ginger said that, you know, Prof was scanning the room, like, always and everything. It just makes me wonder, like, is there an element of, like, I guess danger, or is there some, like, constant, like, awareness that you need to have at swinger parties usually?
I've found, I cannot speak for my wife, but from the way she describes things to me, is for her, when she's in this environment and she's really in the sexy mode and she's playing with someone, maybe she's playing with multiple people, it almost gets her to this euphoric place where something could happen that maybe she would agree to in the heat of a moment, but didn't really want.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of making her sound like a victim, which is not what I'm trying to do. I know exactly what she's talking about, because I've been in, that heat of the moment, that play party euphoria, and agree to something that then it's just like, well, I specifically told myself I wasn't going to agree to that, so why on earth did I just do that?
Right.
You know, and I don't think there was any inherent danger at this party. I don't think a no would have caused a problem. What I think happened is a lot of these tertiary people who were invited to the party also knew each other. And it was from this group that was sort of a separate but group that we've interacted with before, and they all sort of fed into the way each other was playing.
Sure.
And what they seemed to do then is lump everyone else at the party into that dynamic. It's exactly what we were expecting from them, is we have a dynamic. We were expecting them to play by the rules, be friendly, be considerate, be generous, be all those things. And they came in expecting us to play in that direction the way they do, which is more, I don't even want to say anonymous swinger, but it really felt like that, where, you know, when a couple was done, I you could almost see them just, okay, now let's everybody move down one.
I almost hated bringing this up, but I knew this was important to bring up with you guys and with everybody that's listening. We've tried very hard not to sugarcoat anything. It's right in our intro. And this was, a fairly negative experience. You know, I mean, there are a lot of good things. I mean, I haven't talked about many of the good things, but I've been asked about this kind of situation and this kind of party by multiple people. And what I've always said is there are people that like to play this way. There are parties like this. There are situations like this. There are clubs like this, but not everything is like that. And I want you to try very hard and seek out the people, the clubs, the places that you're comfortable with, because they're out there. There are people out there like this, and they want to find.
And there are people that are parties and in events and things that are even more extreme than this.
Oh yes, and I've been pretty lucky not to get rolled up into that. And so I want to bring newbies in. I want people that haven't done this before to feel comfortable doing this and being a part of it. And I feel like this kind of thing is really intimidating. Okay, it is really intimidating to people that aren't initiated.
It sounds like, and this is going to be a very, very ignorant question, and I apologize ahead of time. But you guys ever see Bruno?
Yes.
No.
No, I take that back. I haven't.
I saw the other one.
You saw Borat.
Borat. Yes. I know there are swingers in Bruno, so I've meant to see Bruno.
For make benefit swing.
I would be interested for you guys to see that movie and then tell me what you think, I guess.
Okay. So we have homework.
I'll have to do that.
No, I just wanted to say why. Just because when you are expressing like how terrible like everything went, it just all I can picture in my head is this Bruno scene of the Bruno swing party. So I would like for you guys to dispel that in my head and paint something new.
Okay.
That's
okay.
All.
Okay. We'll have to watch it. I want to circle back to your question though, Shira, about experiencing things feeling dangerous and the whole like prof scanning the room. I've never once ever felt unsafe at anything I've ever been at any type of swing atmosphere. And I should clarify that the scanning isn't necessarily looking for men who may, without consent, come up and start to touch me. It's like partially scanning for, is there someone in the room who's hot, who we've met before, who we might call over to be a part of our dynamic? And so it's not so much totally from a protective standpoint as much as it is scanning the room because there's a lot of sexy action going on. And so I didn't mean to imply that it was like to keep the bears at bay. You know what I mean? It's like,
oh, that's what I heard. That's what I guess what I was reading.
Right. No,
he was on the look for the prowling men.
Like, no, yeah. I mean, there was an element of that there because that was, we've never played anywhere like that before and since. It was a large swing convention. It was a large playroom where everyone was invited. I mean, literally like a conference room in a hotel sort of size. I mean, it was it was crazy. But still, despite the fact that there were a lot of unattached men, single men looking around, observing, watching, it didn't feel unsafe. It just felt, I mean, they're there for a reason too. And there's a certain way that you proposition people in action. And you have to be aware. And so I never once felt, even in that for us, which was a more extreme atmosphere, didn't feel unsafe at all.
Right.
But you do have to be prepared to communicate as particularly as the woman in the situation who's likely going to be the one who they want to touch. You have to be ready to say no, thank you. And just be aware. And so but it never felt unsafe. In fact, you know, that type of attention does carry its own erotic charge for me. But again, I know what I want and I went into it knowing what I want and agreed that sometimes, like Coop said, you know, when you're in a group situation, going into that intense, ecstatic group experience, I certainly don't let myself go there unless I know everyone in the near vicinity and trust them implicitly that they will be safe with me and they are people that we completely trust through and through.
We'll be right back with Life on the Swing Set, the podcast.
Hey, Cooper, guess what?
What's that, Shira?
I just found the most amazingly sex-positive, eco-friendly, progressive, female-run sex shop.
Oh, really? This place sounds great. Who are these people, and how did they get the elusive Shira B. Cat stamp of approval?
They have the cutest name. They're called Smitten Kitten. Their brick-and-mortar store is located in Minneapolis, and their online shop is located at www.smittenkittenonline.com. They specialize in high-quality sex toys and equipment for people of all genders and sexual orientations. Handmade, one-of-a-kind items, non-toxic, medical-grade toys, educational books and DVDs, and even ethically produced porn on demand.
Oh, Shira.
What?
Get with the times! Everybody knows about SmittenKittenOnline.com. In fact, Life on the Swing Set has partnered with Smitten Kitten to give all of our listeners a 10% discount when they buy items from their online store. All our listeners have to do is enter the code SWINGSET at checkout, and boom! Discount.
No way. I can use it too? They have the super hot harness I got my eye on.
Absolutely. In fact, I invite you and all of our listeners to go to smittenkittenonline.com and use the product code SWINGSET. Not only will you get 10% off your purchase, but you'll also be supporting one of the most progressive and sex-positive businesses in the industry.
All right, Cooper, I'm on it. www.smittenkittenonline.com. Discount code SWINGSET.
You'll be glad you came.
When it comes to online dating, you at home have a lot of options available to you. But we here at Life on the Swing Set recommend Cassidy.com. We've tried many websites in the past, and while most are adequate and some are even pretty good, the one that we keep coming back to is Cassidy.com. And there are a few reasons for that. First of all, and most important to me, is ease of use. If you want to put a picture on your page, you know how to do it. It's intuitive. It's built in. It's Facebook for non-monogamy. Cassidy also has one of the most aggressive campaigns out there to get the most people all around the world onto the site. Right now, potential playmates are scattered throughout regional websites. Wouldn't it be awesome if they were all in one place so you could search one site and find absolutely everyone you were interested in playing with? Well, that's where the campaign for Cassidy comes in. Cassidy need not be your only site, but we recommend you give it a try. And if you sign up using the link on our page, you support Life on the Swing Set, so we can continue bringing you what's been called the best non-monogamy podcast out there. And if that's not incentive enough, if you join Cassidy, you get to see my wife's tits. How can you argue with that? Cassidy.com.
I feel I should have said this earlier, but us having a party where there were people that we didn't end up liking very much, their play style, their the way that they approached us in general, person to person. On the topic of the community, I think there's room for people that play that way. I don't want to say they're bad people.
Oh, sure.
Or I just didn't like that play style. I just didn't like that they, okay, they did show blatant disrespect for my house. Okay, that's not right anywhere. But for people that, there are plenty of people that enjoy barebacking. And if they find groups of people that are willing to do that, as much as I feel that it's less safe, because it is, prefer that. But if that's what they like and that's what they enjoy, I'm not going to sit here and tell them, you guys should not be doing that. If they accept the risk, that's cool. And I still want them to be, I'm still happy to call myself a swinger and call them swingers and be part of the same community. And then there are people like, yeah, I know that that's an extreme. I don't want to say everybody that isn't what we do is that. There's plenty in between. And I think there's room for the people that do bareback. And I think there's room for people that do fuck on the first date, within 5 minutes of meeting with very little communication other than, so you want to fuck? Sure. And there are people that like to become friends and have relationships with the people that they meet. And I'm okay with all that. And I don't want to exclude people based on that. I just don't prefer hosting parties with people like that.
Sure. Right. And one of the experiences I know Prof and I have had in the past with a bigger house party where we were just invited and it wasn't ours was watching people play in a way that we weren't comfortable with. But of course, we didn't know them and we don't know what they had already arranged.
Right.
That might be part of their dynamic. They might be partnered. So sometimes when you're observing, and I'm not suggesting that this was the case for your party last night, but sometimes when you're observing behaviors that aren't your choice behaviors, you may not know the whole story either. And so I think, and especially I say that with, you know, whether it's choosing to not use condoms or other barriers or whether it's kink play, because certainly I felt like we've been in circumstances with mixed company who don't know us, Prof and I, and the way we play sometimes. And that's why we always err on the side of being cautious. Because we don't want people to observe us playing in a way that they perceive as dangerous and they start to freak out. But they don't know us and they don't know that that's normal for us and that that's something we love to do and that it's pre-arranged, pre-negotiated through and through. So I just think it's important, Dylan, just like you're saying, that there is space for all of that behavior, but there's also sometimes you don't know the whole picture as an observer.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I would completely go along with that being the case had they not done it to Marilyn.
Sure, sure.
Because that shows that this is just the way they expect to play.
And I mean, I also am fine with any level of play. This party felt like a perfect storm. It just, the exact opposite combination of groups of people that we wanted at the party happened to show up. And the funny thing is, I spent a few days worried about the single men coming to the party because there were two of them.
Oh, and they ended up being fantastic, pretty much.
And the single men at the party, one of them was very quiet, and I don't even know if he did anything, but he was very quiet, he was reserved, he was sweet, he was friendly, and seriously, I mean, the single men were nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
It was the experienced swing couples that turned out to be the ones we should have been concerned about.
So, having said all that, I did have a very good time with the people that I played with. And I did get to meet some new people that I hope that I see again. It just, you know, it's a little colored by the other stuff, and I need to make sure that when I have parties, if I want to expect the kind of friendly, barriers down interaction that I think I like, or that I know I like, I need to make sure that everybody is vetted and or people that I directly know 100%.
Yeah. I will also say that I had a great time with two people, and I continued my tradition of doing things that I normally don't do out in public at parties, and I got pegged in the middle of the orgy room. And it apparently attracted quite a crowd.
I still cannot believe I missed that.
And there was discussion. later, Dylan was like, "So I heard somebody got fucked with a strap-on downstairs." It's like, yeah, that was me. It's like people were talking about it. So and one woman came up and sat down and said, "This is so hot, and my husband won't let me do it. And can you talk to him?" And so I just drew the conclusion. It's like, look, I don't need to say anything other than G-spot equals prostate. I did have a very nice time with two very awesome people, and I know Marilyn had a very nice time with two very awesome people. What I find very interesting is that those people are the ones that we would have normally hung out with in a very small environment, so it certainly didn't need to be a party for that stuff to happen.
I wonder, what sort of assumptions are there when you go into these parties? Like, if you're moving, is there an Evite or something that goes out?
We did send out an Evite, in fact.
Evite.com, okay, the preference of swinger parties everywhere.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Swinger Evites.
And so does that, like, have some sort of general overview of what will be going on and who will be involved?
We don't get that specific on Evites.
Yeah, you don't want to be able to forward that Evite to anybody.
Oh, weird. So, yeah. Wait, tell me, what do these invites look like? Like, what do they say?
The Evite said, we also talked to the people, and anyone who was inviting someone else, we made sure that they told them what kind of party it was.
This is like a heightened level of, like...
No, like, the Evite said sexy like, Christmas party.
Okay, listen, in general, when you go to a party, you can expect a few things. There's obviously going to be some sex happening. Anything that happens, you should really be asking for consent, whether it's going to happen to you or it's going to happen to someone else. The host of the party is generally going to have condoms, but if you want something special, some special lube, some special condoms, cleanup stuff, bring your own, but the basics are going to be there.
Well, I always suggest, even though the basics are going to be there, you need to bring your own stuff, because that's just polite. You should always have your own condoms on, because that saves you the trouble of that situation where, oh, I can't find the host's condoms, or, oh, this room is now out of condoms because it was very popular. Let's just bareback.
And you should be able to expect, even at pretty much across the board, expect that your preferences are going to be respected as far as who you're playing with and who's playing with you, things like that.
Are there any assumptions around those preferences? Like, is it pretty assumed that, I mean, is it like everyone is, how did the labels work out? Like, I get
what do you mean
confused.
The labels?
Yeah, be specific.
Like, I don't know. Is everyone assuming that all the dudes there are going to be straight and all the girls there are going to be bi?
I think everybody assumes those two things. Absolutely.
in general, there's still an assumption that most of the guys are straight, and that most of the girls are bi. I think that
right,
and I find it's the girls who make that assumption that the girls are bi.
Yeah, the guys seem to be a little more flexible. I'm seeing that, but yeah, I'd say that's pretty accurate.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say I just have to weigh in on the assumption thing. Like just on our end, I've just noticed that parties that we have hosted, and I don't know, maybe it's just us, the way we like over super communicate. I don't see a whole lot of assumptions happening. I really don't. And I don't even inviting people to a suite party at a hotel, I personally, even as the host, don't go into it assuming there's going to be sex, except for with Prof and I at the end of the night. I really don't. I really don't.
Oh, I didn't mean to imply that you should always expect sex with other people. I just meant sex in general. You're going to see sexiness.
Well, and the bi thing, the reason I say that it's mostly the girls is every time I've heard it become a please stop that type situation, it's been from a girl who kept pushing and pushing and pushing, despite the fact that the other girl said, I'm straight. In fact, at the party, just before the thing with Marilyn caused me to go upstairs, I actually heard, please, I'm really not interested in that. I need you to stop it.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
And it was a girl pressuring another girl to, oh, come on, it's going to be fun. We're going to have a great time. It's going to be fun. I mean, I was so conflicted the whole night because I really did want to start throwing people out. But I knew that would ruin it for everybody.
Man, swinger parties can be so nice and fun.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And we've really thrown and had so many wonderful, but I think that's why it shocked us to the point where we almost couldn't do anything about it, was because it's so outside the realm of our experience that we couldn't even really believe it was as bad as it was at times. Like, I mean, when Dylan came up and said, yeah, I just picked up 9 used condoms off the floor, I didn't even know what to say to that. I mean,
yeah, I came upstairs smiling, like the not a good smile, but like a I'm incredulous. I don't even know what to say right now. Give me a minute while I work this through. And then I went ahead and said it because I felt like I felt like saying, "Would the owners of the 9 used condoms on the floor please go and
please go
them.
Back downstairs?" Yeah,
yeah,
and you know, and I think people. You should expect that there will be more going on at the party than you think might actually happen, because then when there's less, you're okay. And, you know, I think it really is the fact that I'm a very good judge of character in general. And for the instances when I was not a good judge in character, in the case of some of the people who came to the party that I directly approved, I'm going to rectify that for the next party, and they're not going to be on the guest list. But in general, I communicate fairly well with the people coming about what parties have looked like in the past and what the party will likely look like tonight and what they can likely expect from it. The number one thing about this last party was I was thrilled that 2 sets of newer people had to cancel at the last minute, because this party could have scared them right the hell off. Mm.
And I was glad that I spent so much time with the new couple, well, the new lady, because if I hadn't, things, you know, she might have gotten a lot more turned off to swinging in general, if not, you know, our parties.
So, I mean, obviously it could have gone worse. It was just shocking to us. And that, I do think it's important, because we do often just extol swinging praises on this show, that we talk about how, yeah, occasionally it can suck. And you gotta be in a place where you can deal with that and figure out where you're gonna be on the other side.
I think it's awesome that you guys have each other to commiserate in terms of being the hosts and hosting mm-hmm. together. And, you know, maybe it's, you know, thinking things through for next party. Like, if you ever do want to open it up again, because it is a fun way to get to meet new people, to be able to trust your friends, to bring friends. It's a great way to meet people. But to maybe have a proactive plan in case the, you know, contingent that comes along is, you know, turning the party for the worst.
Right. Yeah. I got a big gush out of someone with the Enjoy 11. Big one. And she had not used the Enjoy 11 because it frightened her in the past.
Was this on Dylan's couch?
It was on Dylan's couch, but it was on top of a Liberator throw. I know how to do it, you know.
Can we become Liberator representatives, like Mary Kay style?
We should become Liberator representatives.
Yeah, I'll get the shirt with the embroidered thing on. You know, I'll start outkitting my car with Liberator logos. And
That actually be kind of sweet to have, like, seat covers.
Oh, my God.
Seat covers.
I think I know who I need to approach. I'm going to look up their Twitter account after this and see what we can do.
No. Talk to Doris. She's working on a waterproof solution.
Oh, okay.
As a squirter herself and as a person who gets to beta test a whole lot of G-Spot toys.
Okay.
So.
Oh, and I guess an update on a personal thing. I mentioned that I've kind of resolved to not try and fuck on the first encounter with someone because I know that I have a hard time getting it up when that happens. It's happened, but I'm very hit or miss. As much as I had a fantastic time with the person that I was with, I couldn't get it up even though it was so fucking sexy and I had taken a pill.
See, and Dylan, I wonder if that's not a feedback loop of its own with you.
Oh, it's totally.
Because I know it's something you have on your mind.
I totally agree with you.
I'm thinking that's that's probably what it is, more than even what you think it is. It's just, it hasn't worked in the past. You're with someone new that you want to impress.
I agree with you 100%, but I just have to deal with it now. So I just have to, I didn't even want to get in that situation, but it ended up rolling into that. And then of course, although having said that, interesting party note, especially for, everyone, I was going to say for the guys, but, I want the ladies to know this too. I was personally witness, other than myself, to three guys not getting it up with people.
Really?
Yes. One of them was with Tonya. And it was okay. You know, there were still sexy things going on, and she was very
Maybe
happy.
Maybe it's because you were watching them, Dylan.
he was staring
at people.
Dylan, I'm picturing you lying on the bed with your hands folded under your chin, big old smile on your face.
There's no correlation because actually
Avatar.
Two of them were with Tonya. One of them was in the basement. One of them was up in my bedroom where I actually was. And the third was with, you know, a couple of unrelated that were just kind of mentioning it, and they were kind of laughing at it. And if anything, everybody, it was no big deal to anybody that it happened to. The guys, I'm pretty sure with the guys, I mean, I didn't take them aside and say, hey, buddy, are you okay? You'll get them next time, champ, you know, smack that kind of thing. Although maybe I should have done that.
Then smacked his ass.
Oh my God, I totally should have said to the guy that was with Tonya, you'll get them next time, champ. But nobody seemed to really take it to heart, and it's, I guess it's just kind of an accepted thing. I know that there have been women in the past that have been like, man, this guy just couldn't perform. And I would just say, okay, if a guy can't perform after, you know, a few dates, okay. But it happens a lot the first time you're with someone, and
even after a few dates, you gotta anticipate the feedback loop. And the feedback loop is something that, until we have a success, won't go away.
But I'll tell you, there are so many other things that happen to get people off with all of the people that I heard that it happened to or saw.
Mm.
I would definitely say it happens. And I was surprised it was that common. I don't know if it happened to anybody else, but just hearing that, you know, for four guys, including me, you know, it just happened. I was like, wow, okay.
Your numbers are going up.
And the amusing part is I didn't have sex because the evening before I nicked myself pretty badly when cleaning up that area down there. And I was uber paranoid about fluids.
Well, don't use a machete.
Where did you nick yourself?
It was at the base of the shaft.
Like you slit your dick's throat? What happened?
Yeah, totally.
That's terrifying.
I came up behind it like Sweeney Todd.
He was giving himself a sub-incision and it failed.
Yeah. It sounded like so much fun when you talked about it, sure. So, and, you know, I keep talking about this like, oh, this is the worst thing in the world. And Marilyn's like, well, show me. I was like, no, I don't want it. Because I know as soon as I show her, she's going to be like, are you fucking kidding me?
And was it tiny? Because you are a hypochondriac.
I'm totally a hypochondriac. But I got fucked at the party, which is what's important.
Very true.
And okay. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I used the 11 as a proxy. A stunt cock, yeah, a proxy. So, I mean, and so, like I said, there were a lot of fun things that happened at the party, and a lot of people really enjoyed themselves. And
even though you gave your dick a tracheotomy.
Even though, yeah.
I know, the dangers of genital grooming.
It's really, you know, and I said this not too long ago that I was done with that, and I don't know why I didn't listen to myself when I said I was done with that.
Moments that you know you're a swinger are when you walk into your office, which was not generally a playroom, and you see one woman with two cocks in hand and another in her
mouth.
Nice
finger cuffs going on.
And they all look at me, and I'm like, I just got to get my keys. And I kind of angle my arm around and open a drawer and grab my keys.
Oh, when they all looked at me, I just said, just watch it. Go on. But, you know, I mean, if they leave the door open, they're opening, they're inviting watchers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that is a rule, Shira.
What's the rule?
If you close the door,
yes,
it's a private situation. If you leave the door wide open, it means come in and join us. And if you leave the door slightly ajar, it means feel free to watch until you're invited.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's okay to assume that you can join if the door is all the way open? You don't have to ask?
It's more of a join in the what's going on. I still would recommend that you have to ask before you actually make the connection.
Oh, yeah. Before you touch anyone. Yeah. Before you touch anyone, you always should ask no matter what. But if the door is open and there's room on the bed or there's room on the couch.
Yeah. It's more an invitation to join the room.
Yeah.
Not join the party.
Right.
Join the room.
Right.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of success with mind if we join you.
Yeah, that's real easy. And then mind if I touch you?
There you go.
Also, real easy.
Yeah.
To the point where girls are consistently amused when I ask them if I can touch them. It's like, yeah, okay. Yeah, of course. It's like, well, hey, you know, I wanted to ask.
I know I just say this over and over again and people are sick of hearing it, but I love that. I think that is like one of the sexiest things. I mean, I have memories of obviously the kisses and the other things too, you know, after the consent, but there's something that is so sexy about someone walking up to you and saying, may I kiss you? It's like, yes, it gives you that moment of anticipation and, you know, you get to say yes. And it's just, oh, I love that. I just think it's awesome. Or, you know, may I touch you? Any of those, because you're just like, oh, you get that just couple seconds to think about it and how great it's going to feel. And then, oh, it feels great. It's awesome.
So on that lovely note, because that is a nice note, let's wrap this one up here. We hope you continue to listen to us this season. I promise they are not all going to be complaints about parties. Hopefully not, anyway. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/theswingset. You can follow us all on Twitter at swingsetlife for me, at gingernTheProf, at shirabcats, and at dylan_swingset. You can email us at contact@lifeontheswingset.com. We are still inviting voicemails for an upcoming voicemail listener question show, and you can leave us a voicemail at 573-55-SWING. That's 573-557-9464. So thank you all for suffering through our long-winded discussion of a very annoying party that's just fresh in our minds because it was last night. And we are certain that future parties will not have that degree of suck, or better versions of that degree of suck, I think.
I'd like to offer one last parting piece of advice.
Yes.
If you have a white elephant toy giveaway where you give away the toys that you're not really interested in playing with anymore.
or according to the invitation, a $40 toy that you went out and purchased.
Yes, yes. Make sure you wash them before you give them away. Let's just say
And check for stray hairs.
Yeah,
Dylan.
I was very embarrassed and I made that mistake.
No.
Yeah. Yep.
No, I'm a terrible person.
I think we should end with I'm a terrible person right there.
Does the guy that's using it have a perm? Or is it that curly look and, you know, with the long hair in the back?
Just imagine, like, what they tried to make football players look like in 1980s. Like, that's precisely what's going on there.
There's this viral video I just saw of this guy whistling on this show in the late 80s. This really strange talk show. And I imagine the guy that you're talking about looks exactly like the guy that I'm talking about. And he's whistling through the middle of his teeth and doing all sorts of weird stuff with his lips and his tongue. And he's whistling fantastic, but he looks so fucking strange because it's really this guy. And that you could really legitimately call the stereotypical white trash man. And I hate the term white trash, but if you had to think, what does a white trash man look like? You would say this guy. So, seeing him contorting his lips and his tongue. Okay, actually, you know what? I think watching him would probably make several women wet. Now that I think about it.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I have no idea what you're talking about either. We're gonna cut this out of the episode, right? Okay, so Life on the Swing Set is going to Desire from November 3rd through 10th of 2012. So just before the apocalypse. If you believe what you read.
Oh, you mean the election?
Yes, that one.
Yes, oh, okay.
Good, we can go out with tequila shots then.
That's
perfect.
Right.
Perfect. Right. In the sex swing. Even better.
We're going to be doing fun party-type atmospheres. We're going to be doing a speed dating thing. We're going to have a pole dancing lesson, some toy demonstrations. As you heard, we tend to like toy demonstrations. We'll probably have the Cooper there with you if I can smuggle it through Mexican security.
So Cooper, if people are interested in joining us at Desire, how do they find out how to get there?
Well, we're going with Char Travel, and if you listened to a few episodes back, you heard them talk about how awesome sexy vacations are, and you can email them at info@chartravel.com. Or you can give them a call at 215-321-4451. Just make sure you mention that you want to go to Desire with Life on the Swing Set.
That sounds great. So if you're interested, please contact Char Travel and we'll see you there.
Hey, listeners. Have you listened to Pedestrian Polyamory and Swinging with the Becketts, the two Life on the Swing Set spin-off podcasts? Well, if you haven't, Pedestrian Polyamory is a look at polyamory from a level-headed point of view, hosted by our own Shira B. Katz and her husband, Gavin Katz. And Swinging with the Becketts features Marilyn and myself interviewing a new swinging couple every month to discuss their time in the lifestyle and any advice they would give to newbies. So check them out, the two new Swing Set podcasts at lifeontheswingset.com.
You're listening to a Swing Set podcast. Hear more at lifeontheswingset.com.